I'd like to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Book of Mark, chapter 10, we'll read verses 46 through verse 52. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. We've preached from it many times. There's many messages to be preached from this miracle. We looked at it at length in the adult Sunday school class when we were looking at the miracles of Christ. But we want to read verses 46 through verse 52. And they is explained as you read further, came to Jericho, and as he, part of the they, that's Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples, that's part of the they, and a great number of people, that also is a part of the they. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he, Bartimaeus, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good comfort, or take heart. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. In this passage, we see in verse 46, Jesus is walking toward Jerusalem to do what he came to do, to lay down his life upon the cross. So really, this is a transition story to the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. From verse 46, we see that the disciples were with him. We see also that there was a great number of people, which no doubt grew in number the further they walked. But these verses record a miraculous healing of blindness that took place en route to Jerusalem. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the event. Mark giving us the most detailed account and the only one who mentions the name of the man who was healed. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. This is the only time that this man's name is mentioned in the Word of God. We only have this one event in his life. Everything that we know of him comes from this one event. But though there's only recorded this one event, there is much instruction, there is much hope, there is much encouragement for the unsaved and the saved from the description of this event. At some point in the gospel account of this event, every person here ought to be able to identify in one way or the other with Bartimaeus. Look at his name, Bartimaeus. Notice the last two words, or last two letters, us. And that's what we want to speak about this morning, the us in Bartimaeus. We ought to be able to see ourselves in Bartimaeus. There are some things that we don't want to see in ourselves in Bartimaeus. And there are some things that we ought to want to see in ourselves in Bartimaeus. But notice verse 46, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Notice verse 52, last part of that verse, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Quite a stark contrast between where the story begins and where the story ends. Two completely different lifestyles from verse 46 and in verse 52. From these two phrases, Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road begging, and Bartimaeus following Jesus in the way, we see that Bartimaeus went from sitting on the road with walking with Jesus. He went from blindness to sight. He went from misery to joy. He went from depending on spare change to depending upon Jesus Christ. He went from survival, that's what he's doing in verse 46, he's surviving, to thriving in verse 52. He went from a life of emptiness, verse 46, to a life of fullness in verse 52. So between verses 46 and 52, the condition and the life of Bartimaeus was drastically changed. And who's in the center of it all? Jesus Christ. Be sure of this. Such marvels, Jesus is still able to perform. It is important to notice that between Bartimaeus sent by the highwayside begging and verse 52, Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way. Between those two verses, between those two statements, we have a real and personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And this is the key. Whether you're unsaved or whether you're saved, this is the key to a better life. This is it. People say, I just want my life to be better. Here it is. Here's the key. A personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Please notice also that the situation and circumstances of Bartimaeus did not improve until he had this personal encounter with Jesus Christ. So there is Bartimaeus, and here comes Jesus, and what we have is a picture of mercy meeting misery. What we have is a picture of compassion meeting sorrow. A picture of power meeting weakness. What we read here provides a word picture of the condition of the unsaved sinner and also the hope and possibility that exists to them through a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. What we read here also serves as a picture of the condition that even God's people can slip or backslide into, that is, sitting by the roadside begging, living on spare change rather than living the abundant life. And the only escape from such a condition in life is a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. So let's look first of all and see if we can see ourselves in Bartimaeus at the condition of Bartimaeus. Notice his name there in verse 46. Bartimaeus. The word bar means son of. Remember the Lord said to Peter, art the son of Simon Bar-Jonas, the son of Jonas. So the word bar means son of. Bartimaeus, that's his father. And that's what it goes on to say. He is blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Timaeus means foul, defiled, polluted, and unclean. Bartimaeus is the son of that which is foul and defiled and unclean. In other words, Bartimaeus was born like the rest of us. He was born of foulness, born of defilement, born of uncleanness. That puts him in immediate need from birth. Notice that he was blind. We read in verse 46, he is referred to as blind Bartimaeus. We do not know how long he had been blind, but long enough to be known as blind Bartimaeus. So he's been blind for a while. The words blind Bartimaeus are descriptive both of his condition and his situation. He is blind. In other words, he lived life in darkness. That is descriptive of the unsaved sinner. Sadly, it is also descriptive of some saved people. He lived in darkness. There was no clarity in his life. As a result, every day he would just feel his way around. That also is a picture of every unsaved sinner. The unsaved sinner is just feeling his or her way around. Sadly, that is also a picture of some of the saved as well. Due to his condition of blindness, there were difficulties in his life that others did not have. There are difficulties that the unsaved have that I do not have, that you do not have. Difficulties that were common to others were even more difficult for him because he was blind. There are difficulties that are common to each one of us. And some of those difficulties are even more difficult to others because of their spiritual condition. You get in a wrong spiritual condition, and ordinary difficulties become far, far greater. Due to his blindness, there was no doubt a degree of confusion in his life. He could very easily get turned around. He could very easily get lost. He could very easily become confused. Our spiritual condition does that if we're in a bad spiritual condition. Due to his blindness, no doubt he would trip where other people would not trip. He would stumble where others would not stumble. That is true of the lost sinner. The lost sinner is going to stumble where the saved sinner is not going to stumble. It is also true of many saved people, because of their poor spiritual condition, they are going to stumble where others will not stumble. Due to his blindness brought some danger into his life, some risk into his life. The unsaved sinner has danger in his life that I do not have. He has a degree of risk in his life that the child of God does not have. And the child of God, out of fellowship with God, brings danger and brings risks into their lives. We say also, due to his blindness, I'm sure there was some fear that others did not have. Due to his blindness, there was instability. There was insecurity in his life. The unsaved sinner does not have the stability and the security that a saved sinner has. And a child of God who's in a poor spiritual condition does not have the stability and the security that one has who's in a right spiritual condition. His blindness, no doubt, had robbed him of some joy. The unsaved sinner does not know the joys of a saved sinner. And many saved sinners, because of their poor spiritual condition, they've been robbed of some joys. Try to tell a backslider to be happy. You might as well talk to that pew. They can't do it. Their spiritual condition prohibits them from doing so. So his blindness robbed him of some joy. His blindness robbed him of some opportunities. Our spiritual condition will rob us of joys and opportunities. His blindness robbed him of experiences. He couldn't see a sunset, couldn't see a sunrise, didn't have those experiences. The point is, spiritual blindness, whether in the unsaved or the saved, greatly impairs life. Also, not only was he blind, he was poverty-stricken. We read in verse 46 that he sat by the highway side begging. That is, he's pleading with everyone who would walk by. And this is due to his blindness. Because of his blindness, there was destitution in his life. Because of his blindness, there was some deficiency in his life. Because of his blindness, there was an absence, there was a lack, there was a shortage in his life. And there he sits on the side of the road, living off of spare change, just striving to get by. That's true of the unsaved. How sad when the king's son and the king's daughters are sitting on the side of the road living off spare change, surviving to get by. Yet that is the condition of many of God's people. The point is, spiritual blindness, whether in the unsaved or the saved, brings spiritual poverty. He was blind. He was poor. His life was one of gloom. Hopelessly blind. Aside from a miracle. And look at the picture. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. This does not depict a man glowing in radiance. When I read those words, I do not picture in my mind a man glowing in radiance. I see a man in misery. a man in gloom. Oh, perhaps he smiled with gratefulness every time someone dropped a coin in his basket. And perhaps he found some joy and some happiness in the alms that he received, but it never lasted. Because the next day he would be blind still, he would be poor still, and there he would sit begging with the passerbys, continually living in darkness, just trying to survive. The day would change, the weather would change, but with every changing day, blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. It didn't matter the change in the day. Bartimaeus is a picture of gloom. With every changing season, there he is, blind, sitting by the highway side, begging. This is a picture of loneliness. This is a picture of sorrow. This is a picture of misery. A picture of meager living. Every day, he was forced to deal with the difficulties of his condition. Read again verse 46 over and over and over again, and you see that his entire life was affected by his condition. When will God's people learn that lesson? Their entire life is affected by the Spirit, by their spiritual condition. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. This was his life. No matter how many coins he got, this was his life. No matter how many kind words the passerbys might speak, this was his life. Why? Because of his condition. He was blind. A lot of people want their lives changed, but nothing changes until conditions, spiritual conditions, change. When I read those words, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging, I see a man trapped in his life. How sad. You look at the unsaved, and that's exactly what they are. They're trapped in their life. But how sad to see God's people trapped in a deficient spiritual life. And I guarantee you this, to some degree, Bartimaeus became accustomed to his condition. Every day he would go out and beg. Every day he would deal with blindness. You deal with something every day, whether it be good or bad. In time, you will become accustomed to a degree to whatever it is. Do not be mistaken in this. Your spiritual condition will dictate the way you live your life. People say all the time, I don't know what's wrong with them. I do. It's a spiritual condition. Because your spiritual condition will dictate the way you live. Guaranteed. That's why you can tell much by the way people live. Because their condition dictates, just like the lost sinner, their flesh dictates the way they live. So we have a brief picture of Bartimaeus. But notice, all was not hopeless. And the reason this is so was because Jesus came to where Bartimaeus was. So we read, there's blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. There he is, living in the darkness of blindness. Living in the nothingness of poverty. And what's he doing? He's sitting there with his hand out, sitting there with his basket or whatever, pleading with anybody passing by. Sir, you have some spare change you can have some change you can spare? Ma'am, do you have some change you can spare? I'm hungry. We've all seen it. But sadly, this is descriptive of many lives, including God's people. As he sat there in his blindness and in his poverty, one day he could hear that there were more people than usual. And it was noisier than usual. And there was an excitement in the air that was not normally there. And he could sense that something was happening. And Luke, in his account, in Luke 18, verse 36, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And as hearing all the commotion, he said, what's going on? Somebody tell me what's going on. In Luke 18, verse 37, they answered, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth is coming through of town. We need to grasp that. Jesus had come to the place where Bartimaeus was. Anytime that happens, there's hope. There's hope. Jesus, the conqueror of death, the giver of life, had come to where Bartimaeus was. Jesus, the dispeller of darkness, and the giver of light, the provider of needs, the one in whom is refreshment, the one in whom is mending and healing and restoring, had come to where Bartimaeus was. Jesus, the giver of hope, the giver of help, the giver of strength, the giver of comfort, had come. The one in whom is relief, joy, and victory has come to where Bartimaeus was. So there's Bartimaeus, and now we have Jesus. And now there was hope. And there is hope today because of Jesus. Now we want to look at some ways in which we need to be like Bartimaeus. We have Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road begging. Jesus has arrived. Bartimaeus realized his real need. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. You look at him and you say, there is a needy individual. Yes, indeed. There is a needy individual. And Bartimaeus realized that he was a needy individual. But he realized more than that. Because many times people will realize that they're needy. But unless you realize what you need, it's not going to do you a whole lot of good. Bartimaeus not only realized that he was needy, he realized his real need. Verse 51, when Jesus asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Notice the response of Bartimaeus. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Keep in mind, Bartimaeus was also poor. But he did not say. He said this to the passerbys in his pleading. But that's all the passerbys could do. He did not say to Jesus, "Lord, I need money." Because Bartimaeus realized that was not his real need. And he realized that he's now in the presence of one who could meet his real need, which was blindness. All the passerbys and Bartimaeus sitting there, I guarantee you, did not plead with any of them, "Sir, sir, would you help me? Would you give me sight? Ma'am, ma'am, would you give me sight?" He knew they couldn't do that. He knew all they could do was throw in a few coins. So that was the source of his pleading. But now he's in the presence of one who can get to the root of his real problem, which is blindness. And Jesus said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" That is, Bartimaeus, what is it that you want? Bartimaeus, what is it that you want me to do? And oh, if the Lord were to come and ask that question to each one of us today, the answers would be astounding. And the answers would be eye-opening as to where we are spiritually. You know what our response should be to that question? "Lord, I want you to fix me." Bartimaeus could have said, "Lord, I want you to go talk to that last person that passed me by because he said something mean to me. Lord, I want you to go straighten him out." No, Bartimaeus knew that wasn't going to help him any. Bartimaeus knew his real need. "I'm blind. You see, if I could see, then I could work. And my blindness would not dictate my life. And if you and I would just learn when the Lord says, 'What is it, my child? What is it that you want me to do?' And if we would just learn, 'Lord, fix me. Fix me.' Because me dictates my life. Fix me." Oh, we need the church fixed here and there and there. We need this problem and this problem. Let's all begin with this. "Lord, fix me." If we would all begin there. Not saying we are to ignore other situations, but this is where we must begin. Lord, fix me. That's where it begins. That's where Bartimaeus began. Lord, that I might receive my sight. He realized that his poverty was, it was a need, but it wasn't the root need. The root need was his blindness. And be sure of this, this auditorium is filled with needs. But know this for certainty. Our root needs are spiritual. Our root needs are spiritual. And only the Lord can fix that. Oh, how we need to be like Bartimaeus and realize our real need. Bartimaeus also believed that Jesus was able to fix his life, to provide his real need. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. There he sits in darkness and destitution, desperately needing a miracle in his life. Jesus has come to the place. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus, hope filled his heart because he believed that Jesus was the solution to his life. And that's still so today. Just as Bartimaeus sat there in his blindness and poverty, many of God's people, and we all have some spiritual impairment. There isn't a one of us here that does not have some spiritual impairment. And Jesus has come to the place. He has come to where we are. Oh, that we would be like Bartimaeus and believe wholeheartedly he's able to fix us. Don't settle for who you are, because Jesus can fix who we are. That's just a cop-out. Well, that's my personality. That's the way I am. Well, it may be your personality and may be the way you are. But your personality may need fixing. And the way you are may need fixing. And my personality and the way I am may need fixing. And we must believe that Jesus is the one who can fix it. He's the one. People spend a lot of time trying to fix other people. What they need to realize is that the Lord's the one that can fix. Bartimaeus, realizing his need, realizing that Jesus could fix his need, began to plead concerning his need. Notice verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. That is, he's not sitting over in the side of the road, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He's crying out. He's crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." This was a cry of one desperately needing deliverance, but it was also the cry of one desperately wanting deliverance. It's not a question to this morning of whether or not we need deliverance. It's a question of, do we want it? This is a cry for God to withhold the judgment that Bartimaeus deserves. Have mercy on me. We need to pray every day that Jesus, that the Lord would withhold the judgment that we deserve. So Jesus has come to the place, and Bartimaeus ceases to plead with the passerbys. But now he's fervently and passionately pleading for Jesus. And no one, Bartimaeus, Jesus passeth by. Here's what you need to say, Bartimaeus. Here's what you need to say. No one told Bartimaeus what to say. No one had to. Because Bartimaeus felt in his heart the need. And he felt in his heart that Jesus was able. And the natural result of that was Bartimaeus cried out. Did not have to be coached in the what to say. Because this was his heart. He believes that Jesus can fix what is wrong in his life. He wants him to do so. Do you believe that today? That the Lord is able to fix what is wrong in our lives? Do we believe that today? If so, cry out to him right now. As Bartimaeus is pleading, notice the last part of verse 8, or the first part of verse 48, and many charged him. That is, they warned him, they rebuked him, that he just needed to be quiet. And Bartimaeus just cried more and louder. He was not going to allow people to get in the way of what he knew Jesus could do. So look at the picture. There he is, living a life of darkness and nothingness. But Jesus has come to where he is, desperately wanting to get, wanting what was wrong in his life to be fixed. How desperate are we? How desperately do we want what is wrong with our lives to be fixed? And believing that Jesus is able to fix what is wrong with him, he cries out to the Lord. It appears that Jesus just continued walking. But the plea comes again, this time louder, more urgent, more desperate, more passionate. And we read in verse 49 some of my favorite words in the Bible. Jesus stood still. He stopped. Bartimaeus couldn't see this, but Jesus stood still. Not because he heard someone on the side of the road singing a beautiful hymn. Not because he heard someone on the side of the road preaching a theologically sound discourse. That's not why Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still because of a cry. Because of a cry from a burdened and desirous heart. Because of a humble cry for mercy. Because of a cry of faith. Jesus stood still. And as he's standing there, he said to the people concerning Bartimaeus, call him. Tell him to come to me. The people go to Bartimaeus and they say, Bartimaeus, you can be quiet now. Be of good comfort. That is, Bartimaeus, take heart. Rise. He calleth thee. Jesus, the remedy. The solution to man's greatest problem. The provision of man's greatest need. The restorer of ruined and wrecked lives came to where Bartimaeus was stuck and called him to come. It doesn't get any better than that. Bartimaeus has nothing to offer. He's a beggar. He's blind. But when he cried out for mercy, Jesus stood still and said, tell him to come to me. Notice the response of Bartimaeus. We read in verse 50. Three things concerning his response. Casting away his garment. Casting away his garment. It was an outer coat, probably just draped over his shoulders. You ever notice homeless people? There they'll sit on a corner. Everything they own they have in a duffel bag or in a pile. And I don't care what happens, they're not leaving that. Because that's everything they got. And I guarantee you, even if they were to leave that, they're not going to leave their bucket with the change in it. Not going to do that. But Bartimaeus, he cast away his garment, which I believe is symbolic of the lifestyle of a blind beggar, symbolic of the securities and the comforts of that life. And Bartimaeus, no longer feeling a need for this, he cast it away. I believe that's significant. The next thing that we read is that he rose. He stood up. And then we read and came to Jesus. Why? Because he felt an irresistible drawing to Christ. And without any hesitation, he left where he was and he came. He left his garment. He left his basket of money. He left it all and came to Jesus Christ. May we realize today that the reason many continue to live a life of spiritual darkness and nothingness and a life of continual stumbling and confusion and fear and instability is because they cling to the things that produce that life. And therefore they never leave where they are. Oh, may we, like Bartimaeus, leave the old life, the old ways, and come to Christ. Notice in verse 52, the result of leaving the roadside and coming to Jesus, Bartimaeus, we're told, was made whole. And immediately, he received his sight. Notice, Jesus first said to him, go thy way. Bartimaeus, I believe, began to go his way. But he believed. But he believed that Jesus would do something. As the next phrase says, thy faith hath made thee whole. As Bartimaeus turns, I believe he felt something in his entire body. He was made whole. And then we read, and immediately he received his sight. And who did he see? He saw Jesus. And all the joy that filled his heart. And your heart will overflow too when you leave whatever and wherever is wrong and come to Christ. Your heart too will overflow with joy. And now he's no longer going his way, but it says he followed Jesus in the way. Luke adds in Luke 18 and 43 that he followed him glorifying God. I believe he followed Jesus all the way to Jerusalem. I believe he witnessed the triumphal entry. He may have even seen the risen Christ. But as he's going to Jerusalem, he's praising God all the way. He said, hey, I could see because of him. Because of him. Because of a personal encounter with Christ, life was better for Bartimaeus. I said that I believe he probably saw the triumphal entry of Christ. You say, well, how do you know that? I don't. Maybe he didn't. And maybe he never saw the risen Christ. But I know this. Life was better for Bartimaeus. Because he left where he was and he came to Jesus. He went beyond where he was and he came to Jesus Christ. And life just got better. And how true today. Unsaved sinner, you cannot even imagine the improvement in your life if the Lord were to save your soul right now. Child of God, lives would be so much better if we quit clinging to the garment and if we rise and go to Jesus. And if Jesus were here right now, and he is, the person of the Spirit, and he were to say, come, and you come, and then he asks, what do you want? Jesus was saying to Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus, ask anything. What is it that you want? What would our response be? Oh, Lord, I need a better job. Oh, my friend, that won't help you a whole lot. I need so-and-so fixed. I need so-and-so removed out of my life. Well, the Lord might do that, but guess what? You still have you. So you still got a problem. Lord, fix me. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Could you imagine if the Lord, if all of us here today would leave where we are, come to Christ, ask him to fix whatever, Lord, whatever it is in my life that needs fixing, you fix. And if he were to do that, could you imagine? I guarantee you this evening's service would be far different than this morning's if the Lord were to fix everything. I guarantee you people would come in here far different. Oh, what a great wonder. And our hearts would overflow with joy when the Lord begins fixing us. You know, I've fallen into that trap many, many times, asking the Lord to, Lord, this person here, they're an irritant. They, Lord, do something with them. And the Lord may, but guess what? Another irritant comes along. They'll always be there. But you know where the lasting change comes? When I say, Lord, fix me. That's where it comes. That's what we need this day. And Jesus is in the business of doing that. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.